Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Adequate notice of this meeting is required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on December 2, 2016, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office and in the Borough Hall. The notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. The clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Stoner?
Here.
Mr. Enthauser?
Here.
Ms. Lacote?
Here.
Ms. Malkin?
Here.
Mr. Tickton?
Here.
Mr. Trammell?
Here.
Mayor Allen.
Thank you. To start, would anybody like to introduce Ordinance 2016-020?
Okay, introduce Ordinance 2016-020, final reading and public hearing, by ordinance providing for the design and construction of a new borough emergency services building, appropriating $600,000 therefore, and authorizing the issuance of $571,400 bonds and notes to finance a portion of the cost thereof, authorized in and by the Borough of Roosevelt and the County of Monmouth, New Jersey.
And do we have a second?
Second.
So I'm going to ask first for any discussion at the table, at which point we will then open up for the public hearing. Do we have any questions, discussion at the table?
Well, first of all, I don't see an address in here where exactly this money is going to put a building where.
Right now it's 33 North Rochdale, where the current fire building is.
So can it be stated in there?
We're not going to change the bond ordinance.
Well, you have no address.
We have no address, but our resolution sets forth the plan, which is attached, which shows it sitting at 33 North Rochdale. The bond council has signed off on this ordinance. That's the one she's going to opine to.
I think it seems it should have the address in it. Otherwise, can it be amended to have the address in there?
It's not how it's normally done, but I hear your request. Did you have other comments?
Yeah, I'd just like to go on the record for one last time stating that the way and the culture of emergency services is changing. Things will eventually go to all county. I think that eventually we may be left with a firehouse that's obsolete, that's not in use because the county has taken over, that we may be left with a building that we're paying for the next 20 years that we haven't used in 15 years, a building that we're putting up that we can't afford. We have water sewer going up. Our water sewer bills are going up. We have water sewer bills now that we can't even pay. We're a little tiny town, we don't have fires, and we have a fully functioning, well-respected, highly regarded fire department 3 miles down the road. And I just think it makes no sense to spend this kind of money in a town with so few residents, and we just have, like, everything is changing, and there's no, I don't see any need to spend this kind of money so we can have our own little fire department. Any firefighter is welcome to join the surrounding fire departments. And I just want to go on record as saying I think this is frivolous, extravagant, and unnecessary. And it's in the face of the way everything is changing today, it's extremely upsetting to see this happen.
Thank you.
You said the address was attached?
No. In the resolution authorizing the building of a four-bay building, there is attached to that resolution the plan submitted by Roberts Engineering, which places
it's
the
not
building.
Attached to the bond, is
it? No, nor would it be.
Referenced in paragraph 3A. In accordance with.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, where that is, the reference to the...
That was attached to the resolution.
Okay, we don't have that resolution in front of us. So
I probably have a copy here if you want.
Okay, what resolution number is it?
7?
Yeah, 1607.
Okay, I can reference that later. The other thing is, since we're having more members of the council switch over on January, I think we should table this until January so we could all take fresh eyes on it.
Okay.
I agree with that.
Can I move that?
You can move to table.
You could move to table.
I'd like to table this. I'd move to table this until January when the new council is in place.
Second.
Okay. So we can have discussion of that. It seems that, at least from my point of view, we've been at this for almost 18 months. We had a vote. We told the voters that however they voted in the last election, we would go. They voted 266 to 66 to build a four-bay building. And we said that we would proceed forthwith. And that is what we're doing. So
okay, and we also voted new people in the council, so I would think that, mm-hmm. that would be in order also.
One does not preclude the other.
And I think many voters were unhappy with the phraseology of the questions, that they wanted a yes or a no, mm-hmm. not an either and or.
Right, I think we've discussed that at length. A no doesn't mean anything. It doesn't do anything for us. We still have a condemned building. We still have a potential condemned first aid building. We have the possibility of entering into a contract with Millstone, which is going to cost more than any of the other options.
According to you.
Well, according to them, if you'd actually shown up at the meetings when they were there and they told us that, you would have confirmed it for yourself.
I've actually talked to people from Millstone without you there.
Great. Commission? Did you speak to the commission?
No.
All right. Are there any comments before we call a vote on tabling? In other words, a request has been made to table this until January.
One last thing?
Sure.
I would like to speak with the commission myself at Millstone.
As I told you 2 weeks ago, you were welcome to and have been welcome to for a year.
Working on it.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, we are voting on Mr. Trammell's motion to table the bond ordinance to next year. So, a yes would be it goes over till the next year. A no would be we vote on it this evening.
Ms. Bona?
No.
Mr. Impelzari?
No.
Ms. Lapode?
No.
Ms. Malkin?
Yes.
Mr. Tickton?
No.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay. We now, if there's no further comments on the bond ordinance itself?
I'm going to reiterate something that you just said, and that is that the voters, when I looked at the Monmouth County election website, they said that 4-bay was supported by 270 voters and 2-bay by 68 voters. And so I believe that the voters have told us that they would like to have a 4-bay building, and so I support the bond to do so.
I think you know that many people refused to vote on either, and that's why it was so unbalanced.
Nevertheless, the vote is as it is, and 270 people told me to go forward with this, and I'm listening to them.
Okay, there being no further comment at the table, okay, we're now going to open up the public hearing. The public hearing is limited to Ordinance 2016-020, which is the bond ordinance to build the 4-bay emergency services building. Anybody in the audience like to speak? Yes, Nona.
Captain Nona Sheriff.
Could you please come to the microphone, state your name and address? This is for the poor people in the back who have to transcribe this.
Well, first of all, nobody can hear any of you back there.
Oh.
So you're going to have to do something. The only one we can hear is you. We can't hear anybody else. Nona Sherrick, 4 Maple Court. I grew up here, as most of you know. We don't have many fires. I have no problem with building a firehouse. but I don't want to build what you want to build. When I read that ordinance, and I have not been coming to meetings, which I should have because I used to do it all the time, I realized that either we were being fed a lot of misinformation or the information we were being given was skewed in one direction more so than the other. The other election, which I felt was more important than this one, was taking a good portion of my time. I think what's happening now is very similar to what happened in our presidential election. I don't believe we were given all the information. I would have liked Millstone to come here and have a meeting with the community rather than just speaking with you guys. If they did not, if they did, I apologize, okay? But I don't feel that we need this much. I mean, my uncle's name is, his picture's there, his name is on the front of the of this building, Mark Klatskin, who was honored for being one of the best firefighters in the community. We don't need this much. I know we need something. But you couldn't vote no on both of them at this election. You could vote for a four-bay or you could vote for a two-bay. You couldn't vote for something else. There was no other choice. And it was skewed. When I read what I got in the what was left in my door, it was skewed. And it was skewed toward the firefighters. It was not skewed toward the community. We should have been given another side, not just, well, we have to pay Millstone. There are other ways. And by the way, Cory Booker just got the money for a firehouse for somebody in North Jersey that couldn't afford it. Has anybody contacted his office? I would like to know that. I'm guessing not. I have worked with his office on personal matters. If you call his office, do not call Newark, call Camden. They will get back to you within 24 hours, and they bend over backwards to help you and get you what you need. And I would doubt, having seen what happened with the school when they did the stucco and nobody ever called the National Historic Landmark Commission, they just did it and charged the community. I think that's what's happening now. And I think that everybody, I agree with him that it should be tabled. I think Cory Booker's office should be contacted. I think our, well, Chris Smith is kind of a waste, but I think that they should be contacted as well. And maybe there is money. We are a national historic landmark. And we should be doing this not only for the firehouse. We should be doing this for the sewer treatment plant. And we should be doing it with the water plant. Go to your senator. Go to your congressman. While Christie's here, we know we're not getting anything in the state of New Jersey. But do that before you borrow all this money. Go to try every effort to get what you need. And that has not been done. I mean, you and I have talked about it. It has not been done. Okay?
I would like to point out a couple of things. One, Millstone was here three times. Well, once in this meeting and twice at the town hall meetings. And both the people on the council and our staff have gone through literally scores of potential grants, just so that we reiterate, we have grants.
I'm not talking about grants, Jeff. I'm calling and asking for help, not applying for grants, picking up the phone and asking for help.
Yes. You may continue. To the extent that we can obtain funds from Mr. Booker or anybody else, those funds can be used, and that will lessen the amount of money that we borrow under the bond ordinance. The bond ordinance gives us the maximum amount that we can borrow to create the building. We can't create the building out of current funds, so we have to borrow it. And what the bond ordinance does is it says this is the maximum amount that you can borrow for that purpose. So we have to authorize it ahead of time. If we have money from other sources, that would reduce the amount that we borrow. It's a lot like a home equity loan. You have the right to borrow $100,000 if you're lucky. If you only borrow $20,000, that's what you borrowed. You didn't borrow the entire $100,000. Same thing applies here. So I thank you for your suggestion about contacting Mr. Booker's office.
But you did say if it runs over, we would amend the ordinance to borrow more money.
Absolutely.
So it could cost more than $571,000.
Of course it could. However, historically, you may note that our last three bonds, I believe, came in under budget. So we're pretty careful about the budget amount. The water tower, the water plant, and there was one more. I forget, all came in under budget. Somebody else in the public would like to speak?
Hi, Kurt Muser, Pine Drive. As for the last speaker stating that the thing was biased in favor of the fire company, the people opposed to it had every opportunity to do the same thing the fire company did as far as flyers and getting their point across. You know, saying, like her saying, we should talk to Cory Booker. That should have happened months ago. This thing is like beating a dead horse over and over and over again, and nothing's changing. And, you know, that's how elections are won, by the best speaker. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Excuse me, Jeff.
If you want to speak, please raise your hand and ask to be called on so that others get the chance to speak, and please come to the microphone.
As a resident, not a council member, I am not the person that should be calling Cory Booker's office.
I'm not saying you should. I'm saying...
But I'm sure... My point is that the fire department could have called Cory Booker's office.
No, could you please speak?
The council could have called Cory Booker's office. They could have called Menendez's office. They could have called anybody's office. They did not do that.
That is factually incorrect.
Well, whom was called?
We have had meetings with our assemblymen. We have had meetings with
that's
the state.
Is that federal?
I don't know what we talked to. Yes, we talked to a whole series of federal agencies. I cannot name them off the top of my head right now. This has been going on for 18 months. We forget. But yes, we constantly check if funds are available from various sources.
There's something not right. I can't explain what it is, but there's something not right. Can you lower the heat because it's still got up a hot in here? You can dump it.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry.
Thanks.
Oh, you're pointing to the camera staff. Okay. But you're pointing to a person.
Steve Yeager, Three Lake Drive. We have been over this. We've been beating this to death. I've been around this for a very long time. I remember you broke my mother's dishes when you were babysitting. All right?
I probably did.
You did. You were a rotten kid. All right. This, historically, this is what this town does right here. We neglect everything until it hits us right in the face. What do you want to wait for now? You see the water tower? You see the water plant? What do you think happened? We ignored it. Now, before you call me a liar, I also worked with it, okay? When a man has to tie a rope around himself when he goes into the sewer plant to clean off the pistons, because if he falls, he'll die from the fumes. He has his wife call him every few minutes, but this is what he does. This is how we operated in this town. Same thing with the water plant. I go in there, don't tell me different. I see the scales are rusted to death. This is how you monitor what chlorine you put into it. Nobody cared. Nobody cared until it hit you in the face. Okay? So, we're going to keep ignoring things? Is that what you want? You want another problem like the sewer plant? It's only going to take one call where one person dies, and then you're going to say, oh, my God, we got to do something about the fire company. Did we ever do that before? It's called the First Aid Squad, Frida Anish. When she died, because they didn't have time to take her to where she wanted to go, Millstone, and they had to be quick, and they had took her to Central State, and she died, what did we do? Does anybody remember?
Yeah, but that's not like survival.
No. I'm just saying, what are you going to wait for? What are you going to wait for? You're outvoted. We beat this to death. Okay? We beat this to death. We keep doing this. We keep doing this. Let's do something right now. We can't change the past. We can do it now. Let's put that firehouse up. I got news for you people. I'm 15 years with Millstone. Okay? I wanted a substation in this town of Millstone. I was willing to do this for a very long time. All right? Exactly what you want. They didn't want anything to do with us. You know why? What I just told you. They didn't want to hear anything from anybody here. How do you think that makes me feel when I'm a member? And I was the chief here. I'm going to tell you right now, time to start doing things right. You know, don't say I don't have to worry about it. I think they really went over this quite a bit. I mean, the meetings were open. I went to some. I didn't go to all of them, but a lot of people who were whining, who were saying something's wrong, weren't there. And the people there were being very neutral. I don't know what to say. I've been here a long time, and all I see is neglect and more neglect. The only thing I'm going to tell you, you want to peace out, Roosevelt? Disincorporate the charter and just go back to Millstone. Forget it. We can't be a town anymore if you want to do this. Let's stop playing games. Let's start doing what we have to do to be a borough. If we can't be a borough, then disincorporate. We'll go the way of Perrineville and Clarksburg. We'll just be a name on a post office. In the meantime, Millstone needs to protect this area now. It's built up. We put that firehouse up, and we have a fire company. They'll use it. When I was chief, we finally proved ourselves, and they started to use us. They need to cover this area. It's a smart thing to do. Let's start doing the right things. And I'll tell you, I wasn't going to say anything, but I am angry. I am furious. We keep making the same mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. You need to learn from them. Can we learn? I mean, as a firefighter, how am I supposed to take it? It was skewed towards firefighters. What? The time, I'm not getting paid for it. I don't even want money. My reward is making the calls. And I'm a bad guy? We're bad people? We're skewing things? You know what?
I wasn't talking about you.
You were.
No,
not me.
Talking.
Not me personally. I'm not talking to you.
Excuse
no crosstalk.
Me. One at a time, please.
You plate breaker. And
how many years ago was that?
Oh, my God. I had to be I would say about 62.
Well, but at least you don't hold the grudge.
I didn't. I remember. But there's a lot more, too. Anyway, I think it's time that we start acting like a borough. If we don't want to be a borough, then let's start let's get it in motion to disincorporate. If you don't want to be Roosevelt, forget it. Let's just get this over with. That's all I have to say.
To respectfully disagree, and I think in the last year and a half there have been
address please, Mike. Into the mic.
Okay,
please. Thank you.
In the last year and a half, there's been two Democratic votes in the town that involved the firehouse. The referendum, which was defeated, was it was remarkable. It was a tie, but the victory went to the no voters. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then a month ago, there was a vote where three people who were no voters ran and won. Okay, so the two Democratic votes, the option I thought was, I agree completely with Nona. I think it was skewed. I think one of the options should have been something in keeping with the no voters. And a big firehouse or a less big firehouse was not an option in terms of appealing to the no voters. There should have been another option. So the election with the three people who were no voters won that election. So I don't see how it would be the wrong thing to do to table this until the new council members come on. Okay, I know I've been voted on, but I have a feeling that the new voters may be able to do something after they do come on in terms of changing this bond. All right, so I don't understand why or how the council could ignore the two Democratic votes that were made and choose to ignore the fact that the referendum was defeated. I mean, the tie went to the no voters. The other thing is I have complete respect for the firefighters. I know a lot of the firefighters. I coached basketball with some of the firefighters. So I have complete respect for them. However, I wonder, during this year and a half period, how many fires have we had in Roosevelt? Can someone answer that? How many fires have there actually been in Roosevelt? My understanding is that the Roosevelt...
36 calls last year.
36 calls?
A call is okay. Not a fire.
But how many fires? No, I just want an answer. How many actual fires were there in houses in Roosevelt?
There were 36 calls. The information is on the website. I certainly don't know it offhand. I don't know if anybody else here knows it offhand.
Okay, does anybody know it offhand? How many threatening fires there were in Roosevelt? Okay. The idea that was brought up that the fire company should be a regional fire company and help out in Millstone, I don't understand that idea. I think Mr. Yeager said we need to, you know, take care of Roosevelt. My understanding is that the fire company of Roosevelt should take care of Roosevelt and not be an expansive kind of company that will go here, go there, take care of calls in Allentown, will refer to calls or respond to calls in Marlboro. Okay, it seems to me that the fire company's vision of the fire company is very different than mine. My vision is that it's a fire company that responds to calls in Roosevelt. And frankly, I don't think there are very many calls in Roosevelt. I don't think there are very many fires in Roosevelt. And that's my problem with it. Okay? My problem is, A, that there were two Democratic votes, and both of them had the voters saying, we have real concerns about spending that much money, this much money, on a firehouse, new firehouse in Roosevelt. We have other concerns. We all have a $200 a month water bill. That's a concern, especially if it's going to go up. We all have taxes going up. We all have who knows what with the new person in the White House going up or going down. All right? And I think those two votes signified to the voters and to the council that we have real concerns about that. And I think those real concerns were just reinforced in November when three people who explicitly expressed concerns about the firehouse won the election. And I just... throw on that the fact that I didn't get an answer, but I don't think there are many fires in Roosevelt. So I wonder if our priorities should be directed elsewhere, specifically towards the water treatment plant. Thank you.
Thank you. You'll be next.
Samuel Lopez, 7 Homestead Lane. Peggy, how much you contradict yourself just absolutely appalls me. Let me speak. Okay.
Yes, please direct it to the chair. Thank you.
To the chair. The chair stated that we have a grade A fire department 3 miles away from us, but is worried about the cost of building this building. If I know I went to every single one of the meetings, but if certain members of the chair came to the meetings, they would know that Millstone's going to be far more expensive. And Mr. Trammell, or the chair, and a member of the chair, last time before they were up there, stated that they wanted to speak to the fire chief of Roosevelt, members of the Roosevelt Fire Department, Millstone Fire Department, and it's been weeks. I'm just curious if that ever happened.
Anybody at the table like to answer?
Working on appointments. I've spoken with some fire officials in the area. I've visited firehouses in the area.
Have you spoke to the Roosevelt chief or anybody in Roosevelt?
I will make an appointment to do that.
or anybody involving Millstone.
I understand that Michael wants for me to be on the safety committee, in which case, if I am, and that takes place in January, I would definitely be speaking with the Roosevelt Fire Chief.
So I just want to be clear that you've spoken to nobody in Roosevelt.
Spoken with Ed Miller.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Allentuck.
Bert Allentuck, 22 Homestead Lane. Correction on something somebody said. It's 3 miles to the Clarksburg Firehouse. It's 5 miles to the Clarksburg Firehouse. I used to bicycle it a lot of times a week for years, and it's 5 miles, no matter how you cut. Second of all, about how things have happened in this town. One of the things that happened in this town is what's happening here tonight, that we keep beating a horse, hoping that the horse will go better for us. This is what happened with the sewer plant. We started looking, and this was years ago, we started looking at making repairs to the sewer plant, and everybody had a different idea, and everybody wanted to do something that nobody else wanted to do. The problem was that there was cheap money available when we started the discussion about the sewer plant. And we could have had a 30-year bond, a 30-year payout for it, with the option to pay early. This discussion went on for so long that we had to borrow at a very high rate of interest, and we had to borrow more money, and we were stuck with a piece of paper that said we couldn't pay off the note in advance. And I'm sitting here, after all these years, listening to the same arguments. And we're going to do the same. And if we don't do it tonight, we're going to have the same thing happen. Because as far as, you know, as sure as shooting, interest rates are going up. They've already started going up. And it's going to cost us more money in terms of interest to do what this town needs to do. Now, the other thing is, we haven't had a fire. I assume that there's a fire call. Something is happening in somebody's property that needs a response. But more than that, all we need in this town is one bad fire. That's all we need, one bad fire, and you're all going to be sorry you didn't have a fire company.
Against it, but sure, go ahead.
So I just want to be clear. Oh, I'm
name
sorry.
Address.
April Sook, 9 Tamara Drive. So we have a plan, right? It's build an improved building for fire and first aid. If we build a building for fire and first aid, a good portion of the firefighters that left because of the condition of the building have agreed to come back. So if the bond ordinance passes and doesn't get forced to yet a third referendum, we have money to build something and membership and equipment. And like you said, if it works like a home equity loan, I'm assuming that once the bond ordinance passes and however many days go by for it to all be tied up with a neat little bow, we would bring in experts who are better experts than all of us about what the best type of building and cheapest type of building to be would be. We don't have to go with what Carmela said if someone else comes in with a brilliant idea that's cheaper, right?
Actually, that was the study that was done. This is the cheapest building.
Okay.
What I was saying was that if other funds became available, that those funds would be used to pay for the building, we would borrow less under the bond ordinance.
Right, so go out to bid, and then they come in, and it's a possibility that someone comes up with a really grand idea. But that's plan A. Mm-hmm. And then we have the other contingent that claims that there's a plan B that we've been asking to see for 2 years. And so I would like, just as much as anybody, as a member of the fire department, to have everybody come back and smiley and nice and have some place to park our trucks that didn't cost an arm and a leg. And if anybody from the no votes who keep saying they support the fire department and keep saying they support emergency services have such a plan, we would love to see it. Because other than that, it's just kind of talk. And so just saying that the council has spent many years coming up with good plan, and if there is an equally good plan to do something similar but different, all they have to do is present it, right? Have you seen it?
You're asking me a question. Yes, that okay. is correct.
Have you seen it?
I'd like to say that the council discussed having Bert Ellentuck redesign the existing firehouse. We were ready to spend $350,000 to rehab it, but that never happened. That never happened. It was allowed to deteriorate. We received money. After Sandy, we received FEMA money. No action was taken. I think it was purposely allowed to deteriorate so that eventually they could say $350,000 was not adequate and it would just be cheaper to build a new building. There was a plan in place to spend $350,000 and rehab the building completely. And then that was allowed to just fall away.
I'm sorry. if
I'm
I might,
done,
okay.
Yeah.
As the head of finance, can you tell me what that FEMA money was, what the amount was, and what it was for?
I actually asked our CFO, and he said he would get back to me with the exact amount, but some of it was supposed to go towards repairing the roof. But he never did get back to me with exactly the
amount. That wasn't what the claim was for. The claim was for the fire truck, which got destroyed in the storm. The claim was for reimbursement for the amount that we spent for our employees. There's a very specific list, and that building was not on it because the damage was not caused by Sandy.
But the roof was caused by Sandy, and we never put in an insurance claim anyway, even separately from FEMA. But there was there not a plan to spend $350,000 to rehab the fire?
No.
Yes, there
was. The council never voted on any such plan.
What was your father working on? That was the plan, and you stated that you decided it was more prudent to build a new building than to repair the existing building. You said you had decided $350,000 was silly. We should just put up a new building.
Okay. I will simply say that that is a gross mischaracterization of what
well,
I said.
I will bring up,
and
I'll
we
get
can
the tape
continue
and play
with the public
the next meeting.
Yes,
so
my name has been mentioned. Maybe I should make a few comments. First of all, I was asked to prepare some plans for addition to the firehouse. The program that I was given for that was only the addition to support one fire engine, not a number of fire engines. It doesn't include anything for all the work that had to be done on the grounds, and all the work that had to be done for the mechanical services. And in fact, the plan was abandoned because upon thinking about it, it didn't really fit the needs of the community. Now, as far as $350,000 comes from, I never said anything about a number like that. Never in my life would I have said anything like that. The only time person I've heard say a number like that is Joe. But Don't interrupt, Peggy. I'm tired of it.
It's public portion. Let him speak. Thank you.
Hold some order here.
I am calling order. He's speaking. I'm calling order. Let him.
You told me that you had a architect come down and take a look at the garage who said he could turn it into a firehouse for $350,000. Right or wrong, that's the only time I've heard that number. And it came from you, not from me.
It was $300.
Came from you, not from me.
$300 per square foot. I think it came to around $350.
Yeah. There's the number.
And it was mentioned by the mayor at meetings when we were discussing rehabbing.
And might I add something, please?
Sure.
Okay. In any case, I think we're talking about a garage to house fire trucks and ambulances. We're not talking about a quote-unquote firehouse. A firehouse outfitted as a firehouse. I think the gentleman will agree that will be substantially more expensive than $300 a square foot. So there are a lot of OSHA requirements for a firehouse or larger. Yeah.
Yes, and you are correct. We keep referring to it for convenience sake as a firehouse, but it is a, as I keep reminding the people in the office, an ESB, an emergency services building.
Yeah.
Okay. Sir?
Dan Archer, 42 North Rochdale. The proposal for, let me start with, I'm probably one of the most qualified here to speak on this. The proposal for the building that has been set forth is adequate, but by no means extravagant. If you read the Trentonian today, Groveville Firehouse was last redone in 1989. They just asked for $3.6 million to rehab their firehouse, rehab the old firehouse, not build a new one, rehab it. This is... We do this as firefighters and EMTs and all these guys for, out of the goodness of our heart, something we like to do. It's exciting. It's good to give back to the community. And for my entire life, it's been fun. I enjoyed it. For the last year and a half, it's been nothing but aggravation to me. It's annoying. It's constant bickering. We're trying to do the best we can with what little we really have. In comparison to anywhere else in the state, we have little. And it's a fight just to get a little bit more than a little. It boggles my mind that with the landslide vote that you guys are still fighting on whether or not to go forward with this. It doesn't even make sense. That's all I got to say.
Dan, I'd like to ask a question. What's the population of the town you just mentioned?
Groveville?
I don't know. So they're spending $3 million, but they're sizably bigger, right?
Okay. Yes, Melissa. Sorry, your last name escaped me out of my mind.
You don't know my last name?
I said it escaped me for a moment.
Melissa
Branca,
15
yes.
Homestead Lane. Jeff, if the bond is used in its entirety, can you tell me how much it would cost each household per year? More or less. I'm not putting you on the spot.
The tax increase would be
right.
$130 a year for 20 years, assuming that the budget stays static.
Right. So for $130 a year increase, which is $11 a month?
Yeah, I'd also point out that it depends on the value of your house. So somebody whose house is assessed higher is going
right.
to pay more. Somebody's house
right.
is as low as.
But more or less.
Average.
And we should be so lucky that the houses increase and we pay more taxes. That would be great. But so basically for $11 a month, some folks feel that this would be not a good use of our money. And I really disagree. One fire, if you've ever had to call 911 because you have wires sparking or a flood, or, I mean, I don't know what the town would have done during Sandy without the fire company, really, and the EMS. But so for about $11 a month, we still haven't started. That's just absurd. It's $11 a month. And nobody's complaining that we don't have enough trained volunteers or willing volunteers who are willing to get their butts out of bed. You know, you almost have a heart attack when that pager goes off and you jump out of bed. And we're aging, you know, and we still do it. But, I mean, there are some houses where if you have a fire, actually, let it burn at this rate. Or if you need an ambulance. It's $11 a month. Just do it. And nobody is everybody. So many people are bickering and going, oh, well, you know, the money and da, da, da. The hell with the money. You have the manpower and the womanpower. It's $11 a month, more or less. Just do it.
Do you
Thank
think
you.
You'd be happy paying $11 a month for 15 years?
Yes. I would really prefer not to talk to you, Peggy, but I would be more than happy to pay that and to still be an EMT. Yes, I would.
Are you an EMT now?
Yes.
Next person. get you a second. I want to see if somebody who hasn't spoken wants to speak. No one has spoken.
Jessica Hanley, 10 Farm Lane. So I moved here 3 years ago from Freehold, which is a very big town. And I moved to this town because I knew that my children could run on the streets and play, and it was such a homey town. It was such a beautiful place to come to. And within a year and a half of me living here and me being, you know, making friends and wanting to help out, I'm, you know, class mom in both the kids' classes. I just joined the school board. This is crazy to me. Like, I cannot understand why this is going on, why the bond is not being passed. In a big town like Freehold, this isn't even a question. It's nothing. And what is $10, $11 a month? What's $20 a month? Who cares? If your house catches on fire, I hope there's somebody there to save you. Or if, you know, your cat gets stuck in a tree. This is just, it's just insane to me.
Ms. Hanley, please direct it to me. Thank you.
And I think, like, the neighbors are so great around here, and I feel like it's become a battle between neighbors. And I feel horrible for what this town has turned into since I've moved here, thinking it was such a beautiful, great place to be. And now it's just not that anymore. Although my neighbor, Elena Porter, who is, I really think she should come up here and speak, because she has more sense than anybody else in this room. And I invite her to please come and give these people something to think about. That's all.
Thank you. Ms. Porter, are you sufficiently embarrassed to come up, or would you rather stay back there?
You don't
want me to come up. Just sit here and I'm listening.
My name is Elena Turner Porter. I reside at 12 Farm Lane, and most of you know me as Sissy Porter. I'm sitting here and I'm listening, and I'm so tired. Do you all realize the horse is dead? Stop beating it. The race is over. I can't understand. And we keep talking about how many fires. One fire is too many. I had a fire in my house back in 90-something, my shed was set on fire. It remained a mystery as to how it was set on fire. But thank God for Roosevelt Fire Company or Fire Department. I went out with a hose because I'm phone in one hand, hose in the other, running to the backyard trying to put out this fire. But they were there before I was able to get it out. But I thank God for them. That's why I say one fire is one too many. First aid calls. You want somebody to respond when you call. If you've never called the first aid squad for anything, it seems like it takes hours. It's only minutes, but it seems like it takes hours. I had one problem, you remember. Mm-hmm. We had to wait 45 minutes because there was only one person in town, Jack. And Kelly, my adopted daughter there, she came to help me, but we needed first aid. Jack called around to get the paramedics. One said he'd be there in 20 minutes. One said it was going to take an hour. At this point, my husband was having difficulty breathing. We're going to wait an hour. I was thinking about sticking two straws up his nose to get him to breathe. But it took forever. We ended up, Jack riding in the back, Kelly driving the ambulance to take him to Princeton Hospital. And then I still get a bill from EMT, from the paramedics, because we called them. And I said to them, hold your breath until I pay you. But I just want the people in Roosevelt to know that I love this town. We bought our first house here in 1968, and I sold that house in 1985 when Bill got sick because I got scared. We moved out of town. We came back to town in 92, and I've been here ever since. And a lot of people I see here, I don't know you because I was in and out of town. You, I remember when you were a baby. But a lot of people I don't recognize. But the one thing that I have found in this town, you can walk into that post office, and a lot of people know you by your face. They will, when you speak, they speak back. But I have to tell you, some of y'all are stuck up. I walk into the post office and say hello, and they look at me like I got three heads. That's not Roosevelt. People speak to their neighbors in this town. And yes, we disagree on things, but it's okay to disagree with somebody. But the name calling and the battering people over the heads with something, it's got to stop. It has got to stop. The only one I'm going to beat is Jess for calling me up here. But we have to come together as a town. We can't allow, I will not allow for somebody to take my voice or my vote. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you. Ms. Bronco, and then... Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. Narrow field of vision.
Still Melissa Bronco. I'm still 15 Homestead Lane. And I would like it on the record that I do not understand nor appreciate Councilperson Malkin's questioning me if I'm an EMT. Whether or not I'm an EMT, I still own a home here, and I have every right to speak at a public meeting. I am an EMT. I have been so for 20 years, and I've served over 10 years on the Roosevelt First Aid Squad and gone on several hundred calls. I think that was somewhat confrontational, and if the chair could find out why I was questioned as to my accreditation, I'd appreciate it.
I'm not sure that would be appropriate, but if you... We can ask privately later, I can pass it on.
Okay. Whether or not I'm an EMT to date, which I am, is immaterial and rude.
I see you, Steve. I'm trying to get people who haven't spoken yet. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, my name is Maria Del Piano, and I live at 16 Tamara Drive. And... it's really interesting how polarized we are becoming, we have become, as a community. It's disturbing, and it's, I feel, even unnecessary. And the reason why I feel it's unnecessary is because back last November, we did have a vote. It was a fair vote. It was surprisingly divided. And come this election, this past election, the same animal that we voted against was back on the plate. And really, I don't want to say how I voted, and I voted in absentia for the first time in my life. We were voting for the same thing we'd already voted against. That was a little disturbing. As it's already been mentioned, there really was no other alternative vote there. It was one or the other, and both of them were something that I didn't agree with personally. It's really interesting sitting and watching the eye rolling and the laughing and the whispering. I mean, I went knocking on a neighbor's door. I don't have to mention a name. They live across the street from me, and was told to get away from my house in that tone of voice. So I don't want to hear that it's all of the no voters creating the problem. The no voters were half. The yes voters were the other half. It really would be wonderful if somehow as a community all of our needs could be put on a plate and discussed, and they haven't. They really haven't, because one half of them is being swept under the carpet.
Thank you.
Yep.
Mayor Patel.
Seth Patel, 64 Lake Drive. First of all, I'd like to say that even though I've never had a major car accident, I always wear my seatbelt. When I ride a bicycle or a horse, I wear a helmet. I have smoke alarms in my house. I pay my insurance. I pay fire insurance. I pay house insurance. I've never had a fire. I've never had a major accident, thank God. But I think the argument that there has not been a fire or there has not been a major fire is ludicrous. We're not talking about what has happened in the past. We're talking about what may happen in the future. And in the case of a fire in this town, surrounded by, imbued with woods, were we to have a fire, and you see on television all the time, South Jersey and the rest of the country, where these forest fires come through, we need a fire department, and we need a good functioning fire department and first aid because of what may happen. Secondly, I'd like to say that I sat at that table for, I don't know, 15 odd years. I heard all the arguments. I listened to the engineers. I saw the plans. Talked about the finances for the possibility of improving a building that we really had no hope of ever functioning the way we need it to function. Now, the trucks are bigger, the rigs are bigger. Getting them in and out of a building where you can't raise the roof and you can't widen the doors is impossible, not to mention the increased need for space for the entire borough for record storage and for cleaning up for the fire department and the first aid. They come home from a call. They need a place to clean up if they've been exposed to bloodborne pathogens or any other possible toxic environment. So I have heard the numbers. And for that reason, I discourage waiting to pass this bond ordinance, because the new people haven't heard these numbers, and by the time they hear them, they're going to come to the same conclusion that we already have. Thank you.
Thank you. Steve, is there somebody who hasn't spoken, just so I make sure I get everybody before we... No, Steve, you can come on up. I just want to, for the next call, the next round.
A couple things. Sometimes I think I'm talking to myself.
Please.
Steve Yeager, 3 Lake Drive.
Thank you.
Two things that have been pointed out, and I'm not going to... It's just that people just don't know. They don't have the experience. One thing. The reason we can save some money, and this goes to all communities, is mutual aid. Okay, we do not equip Roosevelt. We should equip Roosevelt to fight fires anywhere else. But if they need us and we can go, we should go. Same thing with first aid. Years ago, when we were in bad shape, no problem having Millstone come here. If they had the same attitude, you'd have a lot more victims. Okay? Mutual aid is a common tactic throughout the whole country that everybody helps each other out. We can't have the kind of fire company Millstone does, but we need that protection. The other thing that I don't think a lot of newcomers here, and I'm going to call you newcomers.
Please direct it to the council.
I'm trying to speak to everybody, okay. The other thing that is not noticed here is that behind this wall, this was the fire company. They built it, the fire and first aid, and it got taken from us.
Excuse me.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. So the thing is this. Through their efforts and their sweat, the past first aid and fire company built this building to serve this town. And if you're going to tell me you can't give them a dime to just house their truck, they're not asking you, they're just asking for a pole building. You can't do that? There's something wrong. I don't know. I don't know what to say. Most of you probably don't even know that this building was built with the private funds of the first aid and fire company, and it was taken from them. And now you see what it is. Okay? Remember, mutual aid is mutual. They come to us, we go to them. We help. They help us, we help them. We should only equip for Roosevelt, but if somebody needs us, like with first aid, Is it the patient's fault? No. We go. I don't care where it is. We go. That would not be very ethical to think that way. And I know that some people, you know, if you've never done it and you've never been in that situation, you're not going to know. So I'm not pistol whipping anybody. Just need to know. Two things. Mutual aid is important. And we signed an agreement, by the way, Western Monmouth Mutual Aid Society. And this was the firehouse and first aid building before it became the Borough Hall. And it was private money that built it. Thank you.
Lake Drive. Leading up to the election, my husband and I did a lot of research on everything, the candidates and everything that came to our door. We read, and I, in fact, chased a Manalapan firefighter down in Wegmans and asked him a bunch of questions. But one of the things that we found out, which is very scary for us, because obviously nobody wants their taxes to go up, but you want your, if your taxes are going to go up, you want it to be for something. There's an article in the Asbury Park Press that talked about that towns that have paid firefighters keep adding to those rosters. Like, once they start, they keep going. And the executive director of the League of New Jersey, the executive director of the New Jersey League of Municipalities has said that if the volunteer system in New Jersey was to disappear tomorrow, all of our taxes would go through the roof. So anybody here that's worried about your taxes going through the roof, well, if we don't have a volunteer system, we're definitely going to be paying more than $130 a year. And they talked about how it's really town by town. Yes, there is a national trend that volunteerism in some towns is going down, but it's town by town. Some towns have great volunteer departments, and they said it's all based on whether or not the town supports them and the people, and if they have people that actually want to volunteer to be a part of it. And that's all I want to say.
Thank you. Okay, Nona, I think you're on three. I think you're on your third round.
I'm still known as Sherrick and still live in Fort Maple Court.
Please say it into the microphone.
I'm still known as Sherrick and live in Fort Maple Court, but maybe not that longer. As I look around the room, it frightens me to say that I think I've lived in town longer than anybody that's here. No, I've been here. You weren't. I was born here, so.
Okay.
No, well, it's irrelevant. Yes. The reason. I'm not against this. I'm not for it. My issue with this, spending this much money, is having lived here as long as I have and having had a fire in my backyard when I was a child and now I'm still afraid to light a match. Some years we have 20 members of the fire department. Some years we have two. Some years we have one. And right now, I think it's wonderful that we have this many members, and I applaud all of them for what they do. But in 2 years, they may move out, and we may have three members of the fire department. And we're spending all this money for a building, and we all know it goes up and down. I mean, you've lived here long enough that you know that, you know, we used to cover Hightstown for first aid, and then they covered us because we didn't have any members. We're going to spend all this money, and then 5 years from now, we're not going to have anybody that's volunteering to be in the fire department. And voila, we're still paying the bill, and we still have to pay somebody to help us. And that is my issue with this, because you can't control that. And, you know, for me, the $11 a month is a lot of money. I know some people think it isn't. I can't afford it. I have to move. I have to put my house on the market next year. But that is a big issue that needs to be considered when you're spending this money, because you might not have any members next year. People got pissy and because they didn't get what they wanted and they quit the fire department. What happens the next time that something happens that they don't like? They're going to leave the fire department. So then there's nobody. You have this beautiful building. You have fire trucks. You have all this stuff. And you have nobody to drive them. So you need to take that in consideration before you even consider doing something like this. That's it.
At the risk of sounding rude for having ignored your entreaty, I would point out that that issue has been discussed and discussed and discussed over the last 18 months. So it is not that it hasn't been discussed. So you may not agree with the result, but it has certainly been talked about. There was somebody over there who just raised a hand who hadn't raised it before. Is Lenar.
Deb, excuse me, I'm not real good at public speaking. Deb Lenart, 5 Elm Court. I would just like to say to people that don't seem to get exactly the idea of what a fire department is, I understand that the main reason we have a fire department is to put fires out, but I can attest, having both a husband and a son who have been volunteers in both the fire department and in the EMT, we get woken up many a times during the middle of the night for lines down. For Hurricane Sandy, for example, I am also a nurse manager on a surgical trauma unit. I have to get to work. If it wasn't for the relentless efforts of our fire department clearing the roads the next day, I wouldn't have gotten to work. And if we had to wait for Millstone, who knows when they would have gotten into town. So there are other elements other than just putting fires out. Cleaning basements out for days that were flooded on Eleanor Drive because of the rain and the water from Sandy. Multiple reasons that, you know, we need these guys. And unfortunately, for 3 years now, we've been investigating it, and they've been working under conditions. I have helped fundraise. I'm not a firefighter. I'm just a wife and a mother. And all the equipment that we have raised money for, we haven't asked the town for. The fire truck, that didn't cost anything except for the graciousness of the town donating to our efforts. That's all we asked for. So I really don't think this is really outrageous, and I think if we wanted to look into this stuff, we've been doing this for 3 years now. They're working with mildew. We spent all the money on the equipment to get them new equipment to protect them in a fire, and it's mildewed. So, you know, I think it shows the efforts of the firefighters and the EMTs and the town, you know, donating to us because they know it's a good cause. So that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you. Mr. Vo. Gotta wait till everybody goes first.
John Vo, 19th Farm Lane. With contracting to Millstone, they'll be happy to take our money. They're not going to turn that away. But what they're going to tell you is going to do their best to respond. And when there's an emergency in their town, in our town, they're going to respond to their town first. And whatever that, you know, usually they have one truck on the road. And if that truck is on a call and somebody from Roosevelt call, it doesn't matter what the contract said. They just physically don't have a truck to go to. So just, you know, it's good to have a hometown squad. Even if there's one person, you know, if somebody's having trouble breathing, you can go there and give them oxygen, and usually another member will arrive. Or if somebody having a heart attack, you can do CPR. You don't need two persons to do that, although it helps. So it would take Millstone about 5 or 10 minutes to get here after the call, and sometime that might be too late. Thank you.
John, for those of you who do not know, Mr. Vo is the captain of our first aid squad. Okay. Let me first ask if there's anybody else who wants to ask a question who has not spoken yet. No? He's going to kill me in a second, but I'm going to let you go first, and then I'm going to let him go.
Ron Coster, 18 Pine Drive. I just want to clarify my position. I'm not against having a fire company. We've had a fire company. We've lived here 20 years, and we've had an active fire company. My point about not having fires or many fires did not mean that I was against having a fire company. I questioned the size of the size of the fire company that we need and the size of the building. So I'm certainly not saying because we've had a few fires, we should have no fire company. That's not my position. My main point is maybe not even whether or not we should have a two what, a two-bay fire, you know, house or a four-bay house?
No, it's a two-bay ambulance house
okay.
or a four-bay fire and ambulance
house. Okay. My problem is with how that was decided and how it came to be that we had an option of those two options. Again, in the referendum, which was an amazing tie, and tie went to the no voters, so the $400,000 firehouse was turned down, or at least it was questioned and asked to be thrown back into consideration by the council. So in that case, the no voters won. A few months later, last month, we had three people who ran who had voted no. Okay. In the meantime, between those two events, there was a committee set up to explore the possibilities of the firehouse. And of the five people on that committee, four of them were yes voters, which seemed to me to be outrageous. I mean, I think, and I'm not questioning the competence or the expertise of the people on that committee. I am questioning the democratic nature of that committee. I think the no voters should have been represented. In fact, the no voters won. So if anything, there should have been more no voters on that committee than yes voters. Now, when that committee came up or made a decision, it put two options on the ballot that many of us didn't vote for. We voted for neither one of those, partly out of protest of how the committee was composed and how the committee came up with those two options. I think the third option should have been not there should be no firehouse at all, but there should be a consideration to build a firehouse or make repairs that were less than $400,000. Because my interpretation of the no vote on the referendum was that half the town didn't want to spend $400,000 to build a new firehouse. We wanted to spend less.
For the sake of accuracy, it's $571,000.
What, the original referendum?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so we didn't want to spend that much. All right. So that's my problem. It's not with a fire company. It's great to have a fire company. We have to have a fire company. We've always had a fire company. We've lived here 20 years. We've always had a competent fire company. It's a question of how the process and how these decisions were made and how these options were presented to the public that seemed to be contrary to the wishes of the voters in both the referendum vote and in the November election.
Mr. Ellington. Fortunately, I don't live at your house anymore, so I don't have to.
I've been listening to the business of we may not have firefighters in the future. The only thing you can be sure about the future is that it's uncertain. No matter what you think, it ain't going to happen. That's known as the law of unintended consequences. My feeling about the law of unintended consequences, as we'll always have people here who will volunteer for the fire department and for the first aid squad. Because they like to do it, we like to have them, and we need to have them. Nobody here has said, although it has been implied, that we don't need a fire company, that we just sort of take the firehouse down because it's been condemned anyway, take the firehouse down and not put anything up to replace it, and hope to God that we don't have any fires, and hope to God that somebody will come to help us if we do have a fire. And that ain't going to happen. That's a certainty. All right? Now, I also want to beat another dead horse about the referendum. The referendum was a tie. A tie. Everybody voted for one thing. Same number voted for the other thing. A tie means nobody wins. In sports, in professional sports, there's never a tie. There's a shootout. You flip a coin. You have an extra quarter. You have an extra inning. It goes on until somebody wins. Now, the council said that with the vote they put on, the firehouse won. That may be wrong, or maybe just as wrong as the people who say the firehouse lost, but it's the same argument. That's the way the issue is settled. We didn't flip a coin. We settled the issue. And another issue about a firehouse versus a pole building, don't kid yourself. It's a firehouse. You know why it's a firehouse? Because the state requires a firehouse. The state requires that you have certain things in this firehouse. The state requires that it doesn't have mold. The state requires that you have an exhaust system to get rid of the exhaust from the engines when they start. The state requires all kinds of things. And so you have to do it. And when you finish doing it, you know what you got? You got a firehouse. So let's not talk about a pole barn. It's a firehouse. The firemen need a place to change when they're after a fire. They have to be clean. They have to have a shower. They have to have an emergency shower in case they're involved with things that are toxic. It's not a pole barn that's in which you stick two fire engines and two ambulances. It's a firehouse. Now, about the Page Fire Company, which has come up. I hate to bring that one up. I've dealt with the state government for God knows 40 or 50 years, and I've read the papers. You may recall about 40 or 50 years ago, there was this thing that the legislature was going to say, we're going to combine school districts. Have you seen that lately? No, you're not going to see it either. We talked about combining with Millstone. That didn't work. You know why? Millstone doesn't want us. It would cost them money. It would save us money, but they don't care about that. All right? Whatever has come to the legislature about combining services or combining utilities or combining anything that has to do with municipalities, it dies. It almost never gets to the floor of the State House. And that's what's going to happen. What Jeff Klein said, the state's going to mandate consolidation of firehouses and firefighters. It isn't going to happen. And that, at least not in my lifetime, and God forbid, and that's a certainty.
Thank you. Yeah. Mr. Trammell in the public session, so... Anybody else in the public who would like to say anything or have a question? Yes.
Samuel Lopez, 7 Homestead Lane. I've been a firefighter here for several years. And one, we didn't leave because we didn't get our way. I responded to a CO call on Lake Drive. I ran into the building. It was late at night. I ran into the side of the truck, bounced off the wall. They started the truck. I breathed in smoke for about 2 minutes, responded to the call, came back, had to take my gear off, go home to my mother with mold all over my body. We didn't leave because we didn't get our way. We left because it was unsafe. For the first time that I've ever been on this department, I'm questioning why. Why do we do this? When I listen to some of the people here, it's just like a slap in the face. It really is a slap in the face. Regardless of how you feel about me or the fire department, we still run into a burning building to save anybody in this room. And it truly is just a slap in the face, the support we get. Thank you.
There being no further comments from the public, declare the public portion hearing closed. And I believe we now have a vote.
I would like to respond to some of what was said here. A great deal of it was directed.
Okay, but Mr. Trammell did ask first. So.
I just wanted to say one thing. For $571,000, I think it'll be a garage pole barn, not a official firehouse with all the regulations that firehouses do.
Yes, well, but let's be clear, okay?
Yeah.
We're, my father notwithstanding, the distinction between the pole barn is the type of structure.
Yes.
The function and regulatory compliance is an emergency services building. It will have the requisite shower, drain, oil separators, etc., exhaust systems that are required by law for emergency services buildings.
There's a distinction between that and a firehouse, which I believe there is a legal and physical distinction, actually.
No, firehouses can be built of wood, metal.
Oh, I understand. And need
well,
to
I
be
don't think wood anymore because it
need
burns.
Need to be outfitted a certain way. So, yeah.
Okay. So. Ms. Malkin, you might say something?
Yeah. There's been so much discourse tonight. Of course, each side believes that they're completely right and the other side is completely wrong. There's a lot of information that's gone back and forth. When we first started discussing this, we were discussing rehabbing the current firehouse. There were people even back then who were not in favor of that. But I know I myself was adamant about keeping our firehouse here. We're a historic town. We have a historic fire department that we've always been really proud of. Had the first woman firefighter ever. And we have had periods where we had almost no firefighters on the fire department, and then other times when we had many. But over the course of the year, even leading up to the referendum, many things changed in scope, okay, as far as then it wasn't feasible, in some opinion, to rehab the firehouse, then we needed a new one. We started hearing, it's in the paper every day, about volunteerism dying. It's dying, it's dying, it's dying. Most towns in New Jersey are paying fire and first aid, at least for the day shifts, because they cannot get volunteers. So then there was the discussion about spending all this money to put up a building where we may not have enough volunteers. It was never discussed trying to, well, I shouldn't say it wasn't discussed. It was discussed paying our volunteers, or at least our day volunteers. It never went anywhere. Many people just did not want to hear that. But that is the way of the country now. Fire departments are consolidating, they're combining, they're paying their day and sometimes night workers. I forget where I was going with that. But even, or else, someone mentioned that Millstone will not respond to us first. Unless Millstone lied, they came here and said we would absolutely not be second class, second in response, that if we contracted to them, we would be as important. If they got a call, if they were on a fire call in Roosevelt and got a call that something was on fire in Millstone, they wouldn't just leave us here. They gave us our word. So there were many ways that we could go about it. Going to Millstone was not the only option for us. There are other fire departments, fire companies, or we could have tried to institute a paid rehab the building and start out with a paid squad, see how that goes. So there were many, many options, most of which the advisory commission and the mayor and the council were not interested in pursuing. First aid is, you know, kind of separate than fire. I think it's generally known that everyone in town wants the first aid squad here. First aid also, Jack Rint was a premier captain for many, many, many years, and he kept insisting the building needs rehab. We don't need a new building. We need rehab. As far as coming back and not having a bathroom after you've been on a call with all kinds of awful things on you, I've been told by many people that that is generally not the case, that most EMTs detoxify at the hospital. When they bring someone to the hospital, they use the facilities there to detoxify at the hospitals. We even sometimes take your uniforms and clean them. The last thing I wanted to say is that I keep hearing, why are we talking about this? You're beating a dead horse. You're beating a dead horse. The vote's already been taken. This is a democracy, and people have a right to fight for what they think is right for as long as they want. When African American people were fighting for basic human rights, Martin Luther King went to the White House, went to senators, went everywhere, over and over and over, and they told him, not yet, it's not time, not yet. But he kept fighting. And it's the same thing with gay and transgender people who've had the door slammed in their face over and over and over. It didn't stop them from fighting. Just because the vote's been taken and the bond is on the table for tonight doesn't mean that it doesn't give everyone else the right to discuss and fight for what they believe is right just as the firefighters and their supporters believe that it's their right to have their firehouse here. It doesn't negate everyone else's feelings. You have a right to fight for what you believe is right for as long as you want in this country. That's all I have to say.
Sure. I'm going to ask for a vote on the second reading on Ordinance 2016-020. Yay is to approve the bond.
We already voted on it.
That was the table. We were voting on the bond.
Put it on the table.
Ms. Bonner.
Yay.
Mr. Hoseri.
Yay.
Ms. Lapode.
Yay.
Ms. Malkin.
No.
Mr. Tipton.
Yes.
Mr. Trammell.
No.
Bond Ordinance 2016-020 passes on second reading. It will be published, put in for publication either tonight or tomorrow. From the date upon which it is published, for 20 days thereafter, individuals can go out and get signatures, 15% of the last general election, which I believe is 70 people, but you'd have to check it yourself just to make sure. If that occurs, we then call a referendum in approximately 55 days from the date on which the signatures are approved by the borough clerk.
Question?
Sir?
A question. What's the cost of the referendum? What does it cost us?
About $11,000 or $12,000.
The cost about $12,000. That's actually not quite true. We have an extended period during that time. I mean, I think we just had this discussion. We just lost another $10,000 on the trucks because they were outside. We have to continue renting the trailer. There's a number of other expenses that we incur along the line. But the basic cost for a referendum is about $12,000.
So this could keep going. We could keep spending $10,000, $12,000 over and over again?
Mm-hmm. Theoretically.
Actually, the referendum could take place at the next general election.
Yeah, but it ain't going to happen. We're not going to wait until November of 2017 to vote on something that we have been working on for a year and a half. At least, that is my view. Okay, now I'll move to finding my agenda. Here it is. Thank you. I got it. Only semi-incompetent. Okay. We now move to the first reading and introduction, Ordinance 2016-021. Do I have a motion for 2016-021?
Move Ordinance Number 2016-021.
Do we have a second?
Second.
This is about the fire company, guys, just so you know.
Okay, you're ready now.
Okay. Okay. Did you hear the entire vote? Would you like me to read it back?
I just need Mr. Trammell now.
Mr. Trammell abstained.
I'm abstaining, yes.
Okay, new business. The only item we have for new business is contract for municipal clerk services. Councilwoman Malkin asked that we extend the current. We have a shared service agreement with Hightstown Borough. It expires at the end of the year. Councilwoman Malkin asked that we extend it for an additional month. And we need to get a vote on that. So I'm going to ask for discussion at the table. Point out, however, that we cannot have any discussion about personnel, meaning if you have a question about the timing or the contract, we can discuss that. We cannot discuss the performance or non-performance of the persons provided under the contract. Make sense?
All right, well, stop me if this crosses that line, but I just think that it makes sense in that if there is a new municipal clerk, there's a transition period where the current clerk can transition the new clerk into the position easily, you know, much more easily than if there's no one there to provide that help and support.
We do have a deputy clerk, however.
But not a certified registered municipal borough clerk.
Has this been introduced as a motion?
No, not right now. Nobody's made a motion. If you want to make one, please.
I move to extend our municipal borough clerk's contract for 1 month. I believe it ends December 31st of this year. Right, so it would be January 31st of 17.
I'll second that.
And again, the purpose of this is?
I think it's uncertain yet whether they're staying or not, but if they don't stay, it will make the transition to a new borough clerk much easier because she can give the support and training that they'll need to catch up.
If who stays? You said it's not clear if they stay.
In other words, if the current clerk is staying, it's a moot point, but if she's not staying and a new clerk comes on, then it makes the transition to someone who's experienced and knowledgeable and certified to ease them into the position, to train them.
Other questions, Jeff? I think for us new people on the council, myself and Mike included, that if the old clerk was here, we could talk to her about procedures in the past, and I could learn a lot about the town hall here.
The current clerk has only been here for a year.
Yes,
I understand that. Okay.
I know.
No, it's longer than a year.
I'm sorry.
At least 2 years.
Is it 2 years?
Yes.
2.5? Okay.
I remember Christine Olson. She was very helpful. Another thing is that the administration committee should be filled by council people, and I know I came to the interview of the new clerk, and you asked me to leave because you were conducting it with Jill and Stacy.
Right. So the administration committee is Councilwoman Lapote, mm-hmm. Councilwoman Bana. The mayor is the titular head of every committee. We had an interview set up. You came in and said, I want to sit here, and the answer was, no, that'll make four.
So are you going to be on all the committees in the future, or is that the council's function?
No, the council sets up committees. If there were three people on that committee, those three would have met.
Because they vote. You don't vote. So what? Shouldn't Joe have been allowed at that meeting?
Absolutely not.
Joe's
not on that committee. I'm not sure why.
So next year when we set committees up, it should pretty exclusively be council members as opposed to you being on any of the committees?
Yeah. The mayor is not on any of the council committees. But the mayor is the head of the titular head of those and can attend any one of them
if there were three people on a committee having a meeting, then you could be there? And
no, I wouldn't.
No.
I would not.
On a question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. I'm not taking a front, Joe. I'm just trying to answer your question.
I just read that somewhere, you know. So, okay.
So are you asking?
The mayor's the head
to
is
hold
the
this off until
chief administrative officer of the borough, but the council committees are still committees of the council.
Yeah.
So I don't think say I don't think it's quite accurate to say the mayor is a member of council committees.
Said the titular head.
Not of the committees. Of the.
I don't think that's right.
Well, okay.
Do we need that discussion now, or can we?
No, it's fine.
Can you look it up, Rich?
Because I'd like to go home at some
objection
point tonight.
To that statement.
Well, let's ask Rich to look it up. He's here.
What are we looking up?
To clarify Michael's question.
Okay.
You might have something in your administrative code, some towns, that says the mayor or whatever the chairman, if it's a different kind of board, is an ex officio member of all committees. I don't know if you have that or not.
No, the administrative code says that the committees are composed of council people.
I haven't looked at it in a while, so I'll figure.
So what's that mean?
I haven't looked at it. So, but
that the council people should choose the committees and be on the committees. And the mayor, if he's there and if there's three people on a committee meeting, that the mayor would be an ex.
I'd like to point out that this is a special meeting. This is not on the agenda. And we are only allowed to discuss things that are on the agenda. So if we can get back to...
Well, we have a motion and a second for extending the contract.
Yes.
Do we have a replacement?
Yes.
We do. Mm-hmm. And a new clerk, an experienced clerk?
We have an experienced clerk of, 10 years?
Municipal?
Mm-hmm.
What town?
We're not going to have that discussion because negotiations are being finalized, and that would identify the person. You have these rules.
So that person could start, theoretically, February 1st.
January 1st, yes.
No, but if we extend this contract...
Okay, if the purpose of extending the contract is so that the two of them are here at once, how do we do that by having
it
them?
It wasn't. That's why I said, could the other person start February 1st?
Then what is the purpose of extending for additional month?
To transition, yeah. Well, why couldn't the new person come in on the hours when the...
I think the conclusion was that this current contract was going to expire and for a variety of reasons should be allowed to expire. That was what I heard at the committee meeting.
Well, I don't agree. We've had so many clerks in the last few years. Now we have a clerk for 2 years who's experienced, knowledgeable. She's the president of the Clerks Association. She's extremely competent. So at least... rather than having a whole new person again, which would be our third in about 3 years, we could have someone...
Clearly none of us, based on what I started out this discussion with, clearly none of us can respond to that. Not because there is no basis for responding to it, but because nobody's received a Rice notice, even to the extent that they are an employee, and having personal discussions. And, by the way, we're also... I hadn't thought about this before, but we start getting towards a tenure issue as well.
Whether they're part-time or 2 years and a month.
It's 2.5 years and a month, and you're getting close to 3 years. I'm just pointing out that we're getting close to a tenure issue.
Do we know the start date of the current?
Of this? Under the shared services agreement?
Yeah.
There's
it was the middle of summer, I think.
Yeah,
I mean,
but the contract is clear that it doesn't establish anything.
It's
a shared services agreement. It's not an employment relationship.
So I don't see any harm in extending it a month to make the transition easier.
I believe that I'm not sure I see a reason for doing it, and more to the point, I think there were other things that went into consideration by the administration committee that led to the decision that it was best to let this contract simply expire, as it will by its terms.
Then why don't we have send out a Rice notice and have a executive session about it?
I don't think you want. You wanted to vote on whether you wanted to vote on whether or not to extend.
Well, you're not, but you're stonewalling me about that. So it's
I'm not stonewalling you. I'm trying to save you some trouble.
We can vote to extend the contract a month, or we can Rice notice and have an executive session. We have the right to know why that decision was made. You're saying that many factors went into it. We have a right to know.
Would somebody on the administration committee like to? Well, okay. Then I think that the best thing to do, there is a motion and a second. The motion has been a request to renew. We have an annual contract with Hightstown to provide clerk services for, I believe, 2.5 hours a day. Ms. Malkin is asking to extend that a month. It would otherwise expire. Does it even have a month-to-month clause? Assuming that it has a month-to-month clause. So a yay vote would say extend it for a month. A nay vote would say it expires according to its terms.
Subject to reaching an agreement with Hightstown to that effect. Well, they would have to agree, obviously.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, to extend it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they wouldn't have to agree to terminate, to let it die.
No, but they would have to agree to extend it for a month.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
So.
All right. So a make sure I have this right. Please correct me if I'm wrong. A no vote says don't extend it. A yes vote says extend it for a month.
And the administration committee is saying that we do not wish to extend it beyond the contract end date, which is December 31st.
That is correct. Then I think we should send out a Rice notice and have a private session so we can
the Rice notice would not be appropriate in this case.
Well, then I think we should go into private session so that we can also know what factors.
Like
you asked, well, no, you asked for a vote on a motion.
Well, I can resend that. I think that the rest of the council has a right to know what went into this decision.
Why don't we vote on this first, and in the event that the motion, your motion passes, and that might be the next step. Let's see what the vote is on this motion.
No, I think I'd rather, because if it doesn't pass, which I'm sure it won't, I think that we have a right to know what factors went into it. There's so many things that are done on this council, with some of the council people knowing and others not knowing. I think we have a right to know what factors went into the decision to hire someone new.
I think it is in your... Well, never mind.
Can we go into executive session for this?
Can you go into executive session for this?
We can't discuss...
Well, you, if you're contract negotiations, you can go into executive session.
But we're not having contract negotiations. We're having a discussion among ourselves, number one. And number two, I'm not sure that we can discuss what we need to discuss in a closed session. I don't.
Isn't the person that you hired supposed to come before the council to have council approval?
Well, if you're discussing that individual, then you should issue them a Rice notice.
Which one?
If you want to have an executive... A prospective employee, mm-hmm. Should get a Rice notice to let them know that they might be discussed in executive sessions.
But if we just discuss contract negotiations, we can go into closed?
Correct.
Okay. I'd like to do that.
Okay. I need to talk to you.
Okay.
I need to do it outside of this room.
Okay.
Okay? Excuse me. There's been a request to go into closed session. In order for that to happen, somebody has to make a motion. It has to be seconded. Excuse me. Somebody has to make a motion. It has to be seconded. And we have to decide to go into closed session. My personal view is I strongly suggest that we not go into closed session because I do not think that it is appropriate to do so. But I'm going to let you guys decide.
Why
so does somebody want to... I'm not going to have that discussion.
Of why it's not appropriate?
Correct.
Well, you're making a statement that it's not appropriate. You're not going to give any reasons for that?
I don't think that there is a reasonable basis for it, and I think that to the extent there is a reasonable basis for it, it's not something that should be discussed now.
I disagree.
Would somebody like to make a motion to go into closed session or make a motion to not go into closed session or whatever you guys want
to
do?
I move to go into closed session.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Please call the roll.
Ms. Bono?
No.
Do we have to have a reason stated why we're going into closed session?
We will if we decide. decide to go into closed session.
If you go into closed session, we'll read the resolution, yes, and then we'll...
John Calzari?
Yes.
Ms. Lapode?
No.
Ms. Malkin?
Yes.
Mr. Tickton?
No.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. It's a tie. Decision's mine. We do not go into closed session. Okay. We have a motion for adjournment.
Is Peggy's motion still on the table for January?
Peggy's motion still on the
table. She withdrew the motion so we could talk about closed session. Right? Or no?
Well, if we wait till January, she's gone.
Well,
okay, so there was a motion and a second about extending the shared service for clerk for an additional month. Okay.
All right.
Do you want us to vote on that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ms. Bona?
No.
Ms. John Calzari?
Yes.
Ms. Lapode?
No.
Ms. Malkin?
Yes.
Mr. Tickton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
42. Mm-hmm. To extend for another month. Okay. Extend it for another month. Subject to Hightstown.
Except, yes. I guess I'll contact Hightstown and tell them we want to keep the contract the same, other than the term will be, instead of ending December 31st, 2016, and January. January 31st, 2017.
Okay. Please be sure to tell them this will not foreclose any rights we may have. Okay. We have a motion for adjournment.
Move to close.
You got public comment.
Oops, sorry.
Oh, public comment. I'm sorry. Yes, Mr. Allentuck.
Yes. Are you going to pay two salaries for the month for the clerk?
Got me. Ask them.
We spend so much money in this town. One more month, is it going to hurt?
I don't know. Yeah, they haven't hired anyone yet. I mean, I don't
know. We're going to extend her contract. Isn't that what the vote said? You're going to extend the contract for a month?
Mm-hmm.
So she's entitled to a month's salary plus benefits. Yes?
How much does she get benefits?
Salary. Salary. Okay. Some of the
what is her salary?
I believe it's $32,000 a year. $35,000 a year.
Well, it's not her salary per se. We pay Hightstown a certain amount. And
but you will continue to pay Hightstown that amount if you keep her for another month.
Yes? For one
month.
You'll pay somebody for sure.
Sorry?
You'll pay somebody.
Yeah, the borough of Roosevelt would pay the borough of Hightstown the prorated annual amount for 1 month.
Which is
if Hightstown agrees to that, yes.
Which is
1/12 of
$35,000. So $3,000
for the month.
Right. Correct. Give or take. Okay. Anybody else?